You may be seated.
I have just 40 minutes. I'll touch a few things and then we pray. We pray and allow God to help us. We began our journey by looking at the necessity to become a servant of God. Because whether you like it or not, there are colonial masters on the earth realm before the realm was formed. Before the UK became wise enough to colonize nations, there had been colonial masters in the spirit. And the agenda is to colonize men, to get men to serve the agenda of spirit. Chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "The devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy." So that's one of the colonial masters. He recruits men to fulfill his agenda. And his agenda is ultimately to arrive at destruction and death. But Jesus said, "I am come." He's not the only one that came. "And my goal is that you might have life and life to the full." So why one of the spirits is pioneering the pathways of death, God is pioneering the ways of life and immortality. And he said in Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1, he said, "God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets hath in this last day spoken to us by his Son." So the program God initiated is such that he sent prophets on errand to let a generation know that the Messiah is coming, who will ultimately pioneer the ways of God. And when Jesus came, you would assume that he will be here for all eternity. That's not God's agenda. Jesus only came to open a door for you and I to navigate. So he was here for just 33 and a half years. When he left, there was a question in the spirit. Isaiah 53 verse 8, he said, "Who shall declare his generation?" That which he started, that which he pioneered, who are the people that will bear that burden and to advance that agenda? It's on that note that 2 Corinthians 5:19 said, "To wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, but he gave unto them the word of reconciliation." So he gave us the assignment to complete what Jesus started. He pioneered it on the cross, opened the way for men to come into relationship with God and to advance God's government. And when he left, he handed over the baton to you and I. And so in John chapter 20 verse 21, he said, "As the Father has sent me, he says, so also send I you." So the errand I came to run, you will continue that errand. And I told you in the morning that the last thing that will happen to consummate the age is the great judgment. And I told you there are two kinds of judgment from Revelation chapter 20 verse 11 to 15. The first judgment is the judgment of life and condemnation. If your name is not in the book of life, according to Revelation 20 verse 15, he said you'll be cast into the lake of fire. And I told you, this life is the God life. But that life is not floating in the air. God planned originally that everyone who is born will come into encounter with God and grow into eternal life. Because he planted the tree of life in the garden. But unfortunately, the man went the way of rebellion. So he was driven out of the garden. So we no longer access it by eating the tree of life. We now access it by encountering the one who bears life. And so 1 Corinthians 5:11, he said, "This is the record that God has given to us eternal life." And he said, that life is in his Son. He said, "Whoever has the Son has life." And he said, "These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." So the life is in the Son. If you believe on the Son, you have that life. And if you receive that life, you are captured in the record. That record is the book of life. So if your name is not found in that book, it means you didn't accept Jesus Christ. And because you didn't accept Jesus Christ, you didn't receive eternal life. And because you didn't receive life, you will be cast into the lake of fire. This is why we preach the gospel everywhere. Some people say, "You mean every other person who didn't know Jesus will go to hell?" They will. You know, when you say this, they say, you are corrosive. You are not modest. The truth is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say, I'm a way. I am the way. That means there's one way. You say, how about those who died before Jesus was born? God was dealing with them based on conscience and based on the promise of the Messiah that was coming. And that was why in 1 Peter 3:19, he said, when Jesus went to hell, he preached the gospel. And those who believed, he said, he led captivity captive. And he led them in his train. So when he resurrected, everyone who accepted the gospel followed him. That's why they saw some prophets in Jerusalem. Because there's one way. If your name is not in the book of life, it means you didn't receive life. And if you didn't receive life, it means you didn't accept Jesus. You'll be cast into the lake of fire. But you see, those who now receive life, who will not be cast to the lake of fire, the Bible said they will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, where they will be judged based on their works. It is on that note that we are being prepared for the work of the kingdom. That means you can't be idle. You know, Jesus said, lay up treasures in heaven, where thieves cannot break in to steal, where moth or cannot destroy. That means if you have only treasure on earth, you are in trouble. See the code in England. Meanwhile, thank God, I found a way of battling it. I'm 45 now. I was not schooled properly. I wanted to enter the car this evening. They say it's 0 degrees, but I came ready. So now I can manage 0 degrees. Imagine you went to eternity and you had no clothes because you didn't lay up treasure there. That's the challenge many will discover. That it's not enough just to be saved. In the judgment seat of Christ, he said men will be judged based on their works. In 1 Corinthians 4:5, he said, judge nothing before his time. He said, wait until Jesus appears. And he said, the hidden counsels of the heart will be revealed. He said, then every man shall have praise of him. So there is a judgment unto reward, and there is a judgment unto condemnation. If you have not accepted Jesus to receive eternal life, you will go to hell, the lake of fire. Because even hell too will be judged. But if you have received the life of God, you are apart from condemnation for works. And that works is why we will not rest here. We must make sure we serve the interest of our God, so that when we are judged unto works, there will be enough reward for us to live eternity in a glorious way. In order to achieve this, I taught them in the morning the culture of an apostolic community. There is a culture that we imbibe that helps us to be efficacious in the business of kingdom advancement. And I gave them 9 of them. Those who were here in the morning, I'm sure you know your life can never be the same again. Even me, I was enjoying it. You know, there are times when God gives you utterance. As you are talking, you too, you are hearing. The thing is touching your spirit. The word of God is a double-edged sword. As it pierces, it is piercing here too. I was being carried somewhere. If you were not here, go and listen to the sermon. I'll come back and thank you later. The culture that makes for kingdom productivity. We spoke about the culture of prayer. We spoke about the culture of the word. We spoke about the culture of fasting. We spoke about the culture of giving and sacrifice. We spoke about the culture of honor. We spoke about the culture of love and oneness. We spoke about the culture of thanksgiving. And there were 9 of them. And God used that teaching to take us to a higher plane. Tonight, I want to add another layer. When you begin to operate like that, you now qualify to be a disciple. Because in the kingdom, men operate from different cadres. There are those who are the consumer cadre. They are not relevant to God's agenda. And unfortunately, our churches is full of such people. So you can come to a church of 10,000 people. The pastor may feel big, that he has a big work. But you will know the real size of the church when you call for vigil, or when you ask to go for evangelism. The size of the church is not those who come on Sunday. Those ones use God like an ATM machine. They are looking for healing. They are looking for breakthrough. Now, because God is Father, He will provide. But you see, when you come into kingdom, you will no longer be relevant. Because God is not only Father. God is also King. God is also Judge. God is also Lord. If you don't know God in all of His offices, you will be deficient in eternity. Because His Father, even when you didn't ask for anything, He provided all you needed. Even before you were wise enough to know you needed them. I gave you an instance. When I was young, you wake me up in the morning and say, go to school. We will fight. Before you bait me in the morning, you will struggle. Sometimes my dad has to come and look. There's a way my dad looks at you, you will understand everything he says. I know in UK, you don't know what I'm saying. Because in UK, when you do something wrong, they will put you in the isolation to reflect. What does a foolish man reflect on? Reflect on what? And they put them there and they are reflecting on pornography. They are reflecting on how to live in a prison. That's why they go back. Which one? The Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. It says the rod of correction. There's a rod called the rod of correction. It will drive it out. Isolation does not drive foolishness. It's a rod. So we in Africa, we say it's not working. We talk to you because you are not mad. But in a situation where talk does not work, we will look for. There's a word called koboko. Maybe my white brothers here need to. A koboko is a kind of rod. When it goes to your back twice, they will not have to repeat that thing again. You will know it for a lifetime. You will know it. And if you call the police, and the police comes and you say, my father flogged me. They'll say, is that why you called us? The police will go to part two. Because there they don't arrest parents for disciplining their children. They will go, the police will continue. That means the thing didn't enter well. Let's make sure. Praise God. So God is not only a father. As a father, He meets all your needs. But as a king, He has territories He wants to conquer. As a king, there's a stake in England. As a king, there's a stake in Belgium. There's a stake in Germany. So He's looking for men who can bear the weight of the kingdom and step into those territories and win those territories. So on the strength of that, He will only reward you based on the extent of service. That's what many Christians don't know. So they are Christians for 30 years, but they are only dealing with Father. They have not known the King. So they have never been recruited into kingdom mandate. And then they also don't know the Judge. It's in eternity that some will discover the Judge. As Father, He sent His Son to die to save you. Now that you are saved, God gets your labor of love. He will judge based on justice and equity. If you have not done any good work, you have no reward. And there is no sympathy. It is the laws of justice and judgment and equity. So you must know the Father, the King, the Judge, and the Lord for you to make progress. The whole idea behind the retreat is to equip you so that you are not only relevant to Father, you are also relevant to the Judge and to the King. And for you to do that, you must understand what it takes to be a disciple so that you begin to pattern your life after the laws of the Spirit that defines discipleship. And tonight, I want to give you the marks of a disciple of Jesus Christ. They are markers that define disciples. You may be a Christian and not a disciple. But only disciples will be rewarded. Only disciples will have territories in eternity and in the world to come. So, who is a disciple? I'll show you from Scripture. Yes, you are right if you say I'm a disciple. You are right. Because all of us are supposed to be disciples. In fact, it's from among disciples that messengers are sent. A disciple is one who has sat at the feet of Jesus and learned the ways of God. And is now commissioned to go and administer that which he learned at the feet of Jesus. So all his life, he's living only to fulfill the desires of God. If you find a disciple in a business, he may be a very good businessman, but he's there to establish an ideology. He's there to establish and institute a government. By the time he's done, he will not only negotiate business with you, Jesus will become your Lord. Because that is his primary objective. He has learned how to bring kingdom to a people. He has learned how to establish the ways of God. And so any place he comes to, he comes as an ambassador of heaven. Until the philosophies of God, the ways and the ideology of God is established, he has not done his job. Now, those of us who are still at home in Africa, we wear suit. And we feel so good when we wear suit. It's so amazing now if you even come to the English land. I've come for a while. We even pride it. They hardly wear it. Now, our traditional garment is not suit. I'm sweating. Glory to God. When you are sweating in Africa, it's a challenge. But if you sweat here, it's a blessing. I went to preach somewhere called Sokoto. The moment you come out of the plane, the heat will burn your skin. You will feel it. Because you embrace 34 degrees Celsius. That's the welcome. So there we have air conditions that extract heat. You have reduced heat. Not an irony. So when the ambassadors left England to Africa, they were there for some time, and after a while, they changed our language. We left our language and we adopted the English language and we started speaking it as our official language. In fact, now in Africa, there are many jobs you can't get if you can't speak. And it's a big deal if you can speak with an accent. It defines your value. Now, the Englishman is no longer there, but he left us his culture as a sign that disciples came into the land. If you are going for an interview, if you know what is good for you, wear a suit. And make sure your tie is touching your belt. Because those are conditions for giving you a job. Meanwhile, these are ways of the Englishman. But because they came to establish government, they left us with that culture, and that culture became the ways of the black man. That is exactly what God wants to do. That when you are set territory, when you live there, the signature of Zion will be imprinted there as a sign that God is king, that God rules in that land. And so, you can be a Christian for 20 years. If you are in a bank, if you are in a business center, if you are in the academia, and you have not been able to establish the imprint of the kingdom there, it means you are not yet a disciple. You need training. Your consciousness is wrong and you don't have the tools to establish kingdom. And so the goal is not just to make you a worker in the ministry. The goal is to fortify you to be able to take kingdom to your world. In Matthew 28, verse 18, it says, all power given to me. It says, go in that power, nations. So your job as a disciple is to disciple all nations. But you can't do that until you have certain markers. So these are the markers I want to show you. And most of the things we'll be doing and teaching will be designed to help in your soul. So that you think and function according to these laws. Praise God. Before I go into that, let me show you two scriptures. Acts chapter 9, verse 26. Disciples are known because these things are obvious. If you come, you will know that, no, these ones are not ordinary people. He said, and when Saul was coming to Jerusalem, he assayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. So when they looked at Paul, they said, you may have encountered Jesus genuinely, but we have not seen some marks in you yet. Because everyone who is a disciple, there are marks that show. You can't hide it. It inundates you so much that it's glaring. And this is what Jesus wants every one of us to carry into our world. When you now have those marks, then you can be commissioned. It's not that sent. In Mark chapter 3, verse 14, he said he called them to be with him that he might send them. If you send somebody who is not a disciple, he will compromise. Either when he sees pleasure or when he sees warfare, he will compromise. But a man who has become a disciple, he doesn't have a price. You can't buy him. He is like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. Luke 6:13. Here's what the Bible said. It said, "And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he named messengers or apostles." So when people are discipled, they can be sent. You know why? They have the power to establish kingdom. So what are the marks of the disciple? I'll give you 7 of them quickly, and then we pray. The first mark of a disciple is the mark of love. When a man becomes a disciple, the love of God overwhelms him. He no longer takes action based on the impulses of his emotion. He takes action based on the dictates of love. You know, Paul was speaking in 2 Corinthians 5:14. He said the love of Christ constrains us. When you have encountered the love of God, the love of God regulates how you think, how you talk, and how you act. It's on the strength of that restraint of love that you can establish the patterns of kingdom. If you are not ruled by love, and you are ruled by your emotion, your appetite can make you violate that which you were sent to represent. And so before a man is commissioned as a disciple, it must be recognized that that man is ruled. He has encountered the love of God. You know what? Some of the things Jesus said, only love can make you do it. He said, if a man slap you on the left, my brother, the most logical thing to do is either you give him back so that he doesn't make that mistake again, or you call the police. But unfortunately, Jesus said, turn the other side. If it is for the kingdom, that means there are times when a disciple will accept the verdict of foolishness so that somebody else can be won. You look at him, you think you are wise. He knows everything you are doing, but he's trying to send a message to you. He said, if they take your coat and your shirt, if they ask you to go 1 mile, go the second. It is not natural to think that way unless something else that is immortal in nature is powering you. And so when people offend you, instead of paying them back in their coin, you feel pity for them. You feel compassion. How could Jesus cry on the cross and say, Father, they know not what they are doing. Lord, they don't know. Somebody slaps you, he doesn't know. They are putting spears on your side. You say they don't know. Because he sees them as people held in the bondage of darkness. They are held in the captivity of darkness. So in that pain, love was stronger. He was not offended at them. Rather, he was praying for God to show them mercy. If you don't have that depth that love brings on the soul of a man, you can't advance kingdom. I'm telling you, 1,001 times, you'll be disappointed. I heard the story of a woman. I think it's in Rwanda, forgotten. There was a genocide. And some young men came to her house, killed her family, raped her children. Herself was slaughtered, but somehow it escaped her windpipe. And so when they came, they rushed her to the hospital, she recovered. Eventually, these guys were arraigned and shot. But one of them survived, so he was in prison. The woman went to adopt the boy because she no longer has the family. And many years later, after the boy had become a proper human being, that was when he was told the story. I was the one you came to my house to kill my family. From that day, the boy had an encounter of love. He became a man of God. So a talk, an agent in the hand of the devil, was not won by a message. It was won by the character of love. Listen, there are many people you can never win, no matter how you preach. They are just looking for one act of love. Because it's not normal for a man to show unconditional love. Selfishness is ingrained in the fabric of our heart. Every time you see a man exhibit selflessness, it means another power has taken over his soul. That power is the power of a disciple. And so men cannot be numbered as disciples of Jesus except as love dominates them. In John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. He said that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. That means you don't go about singing and shouting and the disciples of Jesus. You show that you are the disciples of Jesus by revealing and manifesting unconditional love. See this generation where people just, you know, develop jealousy and strife, even towards people who didn't offend them, just because they are doing well. This is a generation where you buy a car, somebody enters depression. He won't have any problem, but your success becomes a challenge. Is it matter? Matter, yes. Is it this matter of yesterday? Lord, and they even have the audacity of confronting God. Lord, why is my situation like this? You will remain there for eternity. Matter. Imagine matter. Matter now, when we're going for the meeting, she even drove there. Should this work? So she should pack her car at home because of your narrow mind. People are comfortable with their mediocrity, but the moment God begins to exalt you, they can't sleep. So most of the people you see striving is jealousy that is powering it. And that's why we labor so much yet achieve nothing. In fact, even our prayers most times are not answered because we pray out of envy and wickedness. James said in James chapter 4 from verse 1 and 2, he said, from whence cometh war and strife? That's what he said. From whence cometh wars and fighting among you? He said, come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members. Next verse, he said, you lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. And when you ask amiss. So our number counts for nothing. 20 Christians gather. The moment God puts his hand on one, envy and jealousy breaks the camp. And we are talking revival. Meanwhile, the powers that take nations, if he rests on one man, that man becomes like a cherub among men. Now, if we cannot tolerate God putting his hands on people, how then can there be revival? This is why, for God to do certain things, there must be first of all the baptism of love. So, as we are praying for revival, it doesn't matter if the hand of God doesn't come on me. At least God will find somebody. That's the spirit of revival. And anybody God lays his hand on, all of us will support him. We don't all have to be the star. The most important thing is that kingdom, baptism of love. The Bible said, when David was anointed, it said men began to come to David. Warriors, captains of thousands. How do you think David became mighty? Captains were coming to him. And they say, we want to stand by your side. And they say, daily, men joined themselves to David until his host became like the host of God. Because there was something happening there. It no longer matters who is shining. What matters is that at the end of the day, the kingdom moves forward. Some were giving their money, some were giving their time, some were giving their energy. That selflessness becomes a conduit through which God moves. And that's why I told them in the morning, that the Holy Ghost will not fall, the outpouring will not happen until we are in one accord. Acts chapter 1 verse 14, the Bible said they were in one accord. Acts chapter 2 verse 1, they said they were in one accord. Suddenly, they heard a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and the place where they were was filled, and the fire rested on them. So, one accord is one of the powers that pulls down the dimensions of heaven. If there's no love among the people, they've disqualified themselves from the power of God. They've disqualified themselves from the move of the Holy Ghost. And this is why, for a people to be called disciples, of necessity, the baptism of love must happen. Listen, the agenda God has committed to us is bigger than one man. There must be synergy, there must be oneness, there must be alignment. Don't bother. Was the worship great? That's what matters. It doesn't matter who led. Was the outing a success?
Yes.
It doesn't matter who signed. Forget that. When God comes to reward us, He's not rewarding us based on who was seen. He's rewarding all of us based on faithfulness. You'll be shocked that this meeting happening here, the person that heaven is calling more is the person standing at the door. Because everybody that walked into this place, He welcomed them. You'll be shocked that even me who is preaching, my score will be lower than most people here. Somebody is cleaning the toilet. It will never be seen. And the angels are marking. They are not marking who was seen. They are marking who is faithful. And that is what will take competition from among us. Because there must be a baptism of love. The spirit of brotherhood must rest again if the kingdom will advance. When you see people claim they love themselves, it's because nothing has happened. Wait until one is anointed. Wait until one is promoted. Wait until one becomes rich. That's when you will discover they are not ready. So disciples have genuine baptism of love. And if you check the apostles, every time they pray for churches, there are two things that will never miss out. Number one is love. Number two is understanding. You need to know deeper that surface level reality. Paul was praying for the church in Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 15 to 17, the whole idea was about love. That you know the depth, the height, the breadth, and the width of the love of God that surpasses knowledge. Then you can now host the fullness of God. You can't carry the fullness of God until you have the baptism of love. See the way he puts it. He said, and to know the love of Christ with perfect knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness. So when you find a man who is filled with the fullness of God, it's not because it is the baptism of love. That's the only place God can dwell in his fullness. The marks of disciples. Disciples become messengers that carry the burden of the kingdom. The second mark of a disciple is faithfulness. John 15 verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you be my disciples. Faithfulness that is manifested in productivity. You can't show yourself as a disciple until you are faithful in that which you are committed with, and it produces results. I'm telling you this so that when you come into God's family or into the army of God, you will know that your assignment is beyond the leader telling you, well done. That guy is not Jesus Christ. Even if I come and hug you and say, Kai, you have done so well, it will not add anything to you in eternity. It will only make you feel good. So what you pursue is not whether I acknowledge what you have done, or whoever, wherever you find yourself serving. If the leader is sensitive enough to notice what you have done, fine. And in some cases, they may not even notice. In some cases, they might even misunderstand you. You are passionately trying to see that kingdom move. They come and say, this is your zeal. You are trying to show yourself. Aye. It will affect your heart. But after a while, you will tell yourself, I'm not doing it for him. I'm serving Jesus Christ. So his commendation or condemnation means nothing. Because it is in faithfulness that discipleship is revealed. And most times, it's when you are condemned that the heavens watch to see your action. Because anybody can function right if he's praised. But very few have the maturity and the fortitude to remain focused, even when they are condemned or not recognized. And so discipleship is identified in faithfulness. Tell somebody, you are preaching tomorrow. You give a charge for 10 minutes. 5 minutes to the meeting, he now comes, carries his Bible, John 3:16, John 8:4, John, and he comes, and he's just rumbling things from everywhere. You think you represent God? If they tell you to speak for God, even if it's for 5 minutes, you know your first audience is God. Elijah said, before God, whom I stand? I stand before God before I stand before men. So you are preparing like someone who is going to minister before God and who God will give approval to. But because many are not taught, we take matters of faithfulness for granted. And this is why many are never promoted. I think it's in Luke 10:16. Where it says, if you are faithful in little, you are faithful in much. It says, if you are not faithful in another man's business, who will give you your own? That's the way the Bible put it, almost sarcastically. If you are not faithful in another man's business, who will give you yours? He said, if you are faithful in little, you are also faithful in much. So God will never give you much until He proves your faithfulness in little. There are people here that God gives, maybe God gives you here or not here, as the case may be. You have 10 people that you are praying with every day, teaching. They come. Those 10 people have not encountered God. Every day He's angry. Why are we 10? Lord, when are we going to be 30? When are we going to be 300? He even comes for the prayer. They are welcoming him. Man of God, welcome. Say, what the heck? Sit down. He's praying with anger. He finished prayer. Say, please, let's go. He's waiting for when there will be 3,000. Then he will now wear a Martian blazer. And he will come in like a prophet of Jesus Christ. And he will feel the anointing. That's emotion. That's not the anointing. They tell him, clean the toilet. They say, why? Do I look like a... Why are you giving me this? Giving me this assignment? Of all the people, am I the one that look like a toilet cleaner? If it's not you, who will do it? But when you tell him, you are leading the praise. Alright. Okay, man of God. God will help us. But God will not help us to clean toilet. If it's to speak on the altar, and then they stand, Holy Father, we worship you, precious Jesus. The angels are just nodding. Speak. And I'm not saying don't sing and exhibit talent. I'm just telling you how God works. But trust me, if you will be promoted and if you will be identified as a disciple, faithfulness is a must. See, anything given to you, don't look at somebody else. Don't be motivated. Be the motivation. Don't even allow your leader to encourage you. You be the encouragement. In the early church, the Bible said, men sold their properties, Acts 4:34-37. And brought the proceeds to the apostles' feet. And they said there was one Barnabas, whom the apostles surnamed Son of Consolation. He sold his land and brought the money to the apostles' feet. And these are men that go extra miles. You don't encourage them, they are the ones that encourage you. If you say, oh, this week we are winning 2 souls each, they will come with 30. Why did you do so much? It's because I'm not doing it for you. If that's what God said, I will do my best. All the time, they are doing their best. And God is seeing. You tell some people to stop, they do it with murmuring. And if you will murmur, better don't do it. You know why the children of Israel perished in the wilderness? It's not because the journey was far. It's because they murmured. And God said, I have heard what you said. Because you have said this, every day will become 1 year. And He said, all of you will perish in this land. God is sensitive. And this is where God operates as a king and as a judge. Because there are powers He will commit to you. And those powers are powers that can kill and make alive. And so He will not give it carelessly. He will only give it to those who are qualified. Not because they end a disciple. The third marker of a disciple is self-denial. Luke 9:23. And He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's a daily self-denial. I'm saying this because there are certain kingdom assignments that are overwhelming. You are not the first. That's what every disciple does. So when you are saying, God, use me, be careful. It takes a lot. you must deny yourself. Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, not to the public, his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, you may not understand the weight of what he's saying, so he had to reiterate it for clarity. Matthew 14:26-27. If any man will come to me and hate not father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters and yea his own life, he cannot be my disciple. It's not saying you should outrightly hate your loved ones. He's telling you, you must prioritize kingdom assignment above all. So as far as God is concerned, kingdom service is superior to wife, is superior to husband, is superior to father, is superior to mother, is superior to children. I'm telling you why most of us can't do great things for God. Because we don't know. See, when you are free, go and get the videos of the early church. Watch it. You will know you are not a Christian. These guys don't even have time to care where you when you were born. They only record how you died. And it was an honorable thing to die for kingdom. The Bible said in Acts 15:26, Paul and Barnabas, he said, these be the men that hazarded their lives. Those are the kind of records they keep. They go to where it is tough. Because there's something they know about the reward of eternity. And if I have time tomorrow morning, I'll talk a little about the rewards of eternity. So that you will know how we will be in the world to come. We will not be the same. And any form you assume there, that's how you will be forever and ever. They know it. There are those who will inherit thrones. There are those who will inherit crowns. There are those who will inherit glory. There are those who will inherit nations. Don't make the mistake of thinking there will be only governors in this realm. In the world to come, there will be governors. Jesus said, they that overcome, I will give power over the nations. So some will still be citizens there, while others are rulers. It's not everything you are seeing on earth is mirroring the dimensions of the spirit. And I want to be a ruler forever and ever. Bro, my God, I want to rule. I don't want anybody to come into my constituency and start giving instructions carelessly. They that overcome, I will give what? Power over the nation. In fact, Jesus now said something in Revelation 22. He said, the tree that will grow in the streets of the New Jerusalem, he said, the leaf shall be for the healing of the nations. That means those who will live in the nations will suffer some lack. It also goes to mean it's not everybody that will be in the New Jerusalem. There are those who will be in the nations. Others will be with Christ in the New Jerusalem. And he said, in the New Jerusalem, there will be no need for the sun. He said, Christ will become the light of that city. That means we will live communing with Jesus in essence and intimacy forever and ever. While others will wait for rays to come from time to time. Bro, I want to be where the show is happening. I want to be at the center of the banquet. Lord, nobody is telling me no story. I've read too much encounters on earth. When I go to heaven, I'm part of the whole encounter. And these things will be happening forever and ever. Wow. Maybe I will touch it a little tomorrow. But disciples, they mastered self-denial. Paul said, I die daily. Peter said, a man who has suffered in the flesh have ceased from sin. Paul said, I beat my body, I bring it under subjection. There's one thing we are masters of. We know how to abound. We know how to abase. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Because there's a power that is beyond raising the dead. It's the ability to tame the flesh and bring it under subjection. He said, a man that has law over his tongue is more powerful than him that can take a city. So real power is self-denial. I know how to
bring my elements down
so that I do the will of God. That's what the apostles did, and it's a marker of a disciple. How much can you endure for Jesus? How much can you deny yourself for Jesus? If you have not understood self-denial, you are still a churchgoer. You have no part in God's assignment. It will be a risk to entrust anything to you. It will fail. Because only dead men can bear the weight of the kingdom. That's why they die daily. They die daily. They self-deny so that what God desires can find expression. If that's all you got from this retreat, then you came, you received all. Because I'm telling you, what God is about to commit to us is a power that has never been seen. But you can't handle it as a man of flesh. You die to fame, you die to money, you die to influence, you die to ambition. It's all about the kingdom. Selflessness. You know the problem with us Christians, we are not kingdom oriented. Everybody is living in their own flat with their children. And they are snapping picture. Father, mother, son, and daughter. Father is holding daughter, mother is holding son. We are just selfish and self-centered. Go to an Islamic community. You will know why they are raging like wildfire. I'm not saying you shouldn't love your family and live with your family. But I'm saying your heart should be large enough, if it has to do with kingdom, to inconvenience yourself at some point. You know how the gospel got to us? There are some families where more than 30 people live there for three months. Because they came as missionaries and there's no money for hotel. But the children have been trained. Everybody will lie on the floor. Together. If you don't lie on the bed, you will not die. For the next 1 month, we have company. All of us will be on the floor. You used to eat 3 times in a day. Now the mouths are more. You reduce it to 2. Because there are many more mouths to feed. That's kingdom life. There's communal existence. That's how disciples meet. Let me show you from scripture. In my hotel room now, I'm not sleeping alone. They said they want to get, apostle, we want to get another room. I said, what do you mean by another room? Is it written anywhere? Let's hear the bed. That money can be used for something else. We are not celebrities, we are servants. And there are places we do crusade. There are some places we go to, the room is like this space. Because the bed can accommodate all of us. We'll put the bed up and pull wrapper. And all of us will lie down. In the evening, apostle will wear white suit. Then we go back home, everybody will lie down. That's kingdom. If God helps us and we are bigger, of course, we can relax and enjoy ourselves, but we will not compromise resources to appear like kings and champions. No. Jesus didn't walk like that. All of them slept in the boat. It's the mark of a disciple. There are times when you will come down from your high horse because of kingdom. In John 18:15, because of this oneness, they followed him everywhere. So fellowship is also followership. He said, and Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. And he said that disciple was known unto the high priest, and he went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. So Jesus was going to a place where he would be judged. That fellowship was too tight. They didn't leave him alone. They followed him to where he would be judged. They were afraid, but they could not sleep why the master was being judged. Peter came, they said, you are one of them. He said, I am not. But there is fear, but he couldn't stay back. Even when the going got tough,
They bonded together. They shared in the pain. That's discipleship. Today, if they say, "Hey, Brother Nato, we heard that something happened," you say, "Which God? Let God help you. My brother, I don't want." They say, "No, let's go and visit him. Visit him. You want them to implicate all of us? I'm not going anywhere." They say, "Okay, how about we gather in church to pray?" They can. "Yeah, I would have loved to. But if somebody has problem, everybody, all man for himself." That's why we can't achieve much. And to self-centered. There's no true fellowship. When you see people celebrating and gyrating, all is well. The moment danger comes, everybody will flee and desert you. Meanwhile, if you cannot find brotherhood in church, where else should you find it? Because what binds us here is stronger than blood. What binds us here is an eternal spirit. It's real in everyone. It's identical. It's the same Holy Ghost that is in you that is in me. So, in ideal sense, if something good is happening to you, I should feel the joy in my spirit. Because the same Holy Ghost in you celebrating that thing will be celebrating on my inside. So if there is oneness, if you are in danger, I should pick it. 2-3 people should pick it and say, "Kai, something's wrong. What's going on here?" And then you'll find out everybody's asking, where is Martha? Where is Victor? They are picking the signal. Because there is a place where we connect as one. They say, "You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God." There's a place where we assemble as a corporate persona. We become one voice, one spirit, one baptism, one father, one family. There's a place. And every one of us must allow God to do a deep work in our soul so that we can see the next person, not as a church member, but as a brother and as a sister. One whom you can share the bodies. By the time we begin to operate in that level of synergy, you will discover that the doors of nations will open on their own accord. Because when one is speaking, although he may come as one man, but he comes with the voice of many. And you can feel his weight in the spirit, that this man talking here, he has the backing of 30 intercessors. He has the backing of 40 witnesses. Nothing can happen to him, because if you touch him, some persons will not sleep for 40 days. They will feel his pain as if he's theirs. And so long, did you not read about the early church? They say Herod killed James, the brother of John, when he saw that he pleased the Jews. He said he took Peter. When he put Peter in prison, no family was sleeping. All night, even the younger ones, they kept them awake. We need the voice of everyone. And they were praying. Their prayers mobilized an angel from heaven. The angel came. Even Peter, who was in prison, was the one comfortable, because they took his body. He that was in prison was no longer feeling the body, because the church was bearing. He said prayers was made for Peter. Prayer. That one, they didn't pray prayer. They made it. They cooked the prayer. Oh man. You will see 10 people praying as if 10 of them are the ones in prison. The heaven was shaking. Then what is happening? Peter is in prison and we will not sleep. 2 years ago, some of our brethren were traveling and they were kidnapped. And one of them was 6 months pregnant. What? I called all the warriors. I said, every hour until they come out, prayer must go on. Every hour. You know what happened? By the time they came out, they enjoyed so. Another guy that was kidnapped before them, because the guy was close to them, when they were releasing them, they said, "You two go with your friends." I'm not telling you stories. When we went to collect them, me too, I went. I didn't sit back and say, "Go and bring them safely." I went there to collect them. Nobody slept. Round the clock. They would have killed them, because they killed many.
But the church cooked prayer. You can't think of killing them. No, you can't. We will shut down your thinking faculty. That's brotherhood. It's not this one that somebody is in trouble. Everybody now desert him. How can kingdom move? Go and ask even those who are in the old court. When you touch one, you touch all. And we that have the baptism of martyrdom, we are the ones who are self-centered. That's what, yet we are powerless. Because there's no connection in the spirit. If there's connection in the spirit, there's an assurance you will have that somebody has got your back. If it hurts you, before you feed it, 10 people will feed it for you. If they bear one another's burdens, then you fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another. So if something happens to one person, before you know, people will pick that burden from your heart. You will not feel anything. So Peter, who was in, get up. You are here enjoying because people are bearing your body. Bear your standards fast. He didn't even know. He thought he was dreaming. He came to the first moon on his own accord because people were cooking prayer. Makodwa kakatua feruadege tuata zizo saka. He came to the gate that lead to the city. He said, open on his own accord. That was when Peter realized it's not a dream. And Peter knew the exact house to go to. Because he knows that if I'm in trouble, Eddie will not sleep. I'm in trouble, Leke will not sleep. If I'm in trouble, Larry will not sleep. So it was past midnight, he went there. If I'm in trouble, Delicious can't sleep. So if I go there, I know something is happening. They were so engrossed in the prayer, they didn't hear when Peter was knocking. It was the little girl that was distracted that said, somebody's at the door. It's Peter. Leave here. We are doing serious business. And they said, no, Peter is here. And Peter showed up. Unless. That's how disciples operate. We are locked into ourselves so deeply. This generation, somebody will tell the other person, do you hear what this person said? And before you know, cold war is going on. Cold war. No, we can't wield power. There are powers we can't handle. There are clearance levels that we cannot be given. But our numbers count for nothing. Today we take pride in how many people come to church. But we can't change anything in the territory. Not the early church. If they pray, Herod can die. Early church. They had power. They had power. Power. They had power. When three of them pray, heaven moves. Huh? I came by prayer. I will stay in prayer. Ah. When I leave this world, I will go in prayer. I came by prayer. I came by prayer. I will stay in prayer. I will stay in prayer. When I leave this world, I will go in prayer. I came. Disregarded his mother. He said, you are my mother, you are my brother. Whoever doeth the word
heart of God. Because there's a depth that is stronger and deeper than anything blood can store. It's the covenant of discipleship, the power that binds us together. It's not natural. It is immortal in nature. A day will come when you will be without blood, yet you have fellowship beyond the stars. The Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. That means connection in the spirit is superior to blood. The fellowship that happens in the galaxies of God, they are not regulated by the powers of blood. They are regulated by the essence of the spirit. I will stay in prayer. When I leave this world, I will go in prayer. When you look at the brother next time, he is part of you. We are called the body of Christ. All of us are members of one body. That person is not just your brother and sister. You may be a leg in Christ. That person is the hand. The other person is the skin. The other one is the eye. We are members of one body. We are one. If it hurts one, it hurts all. That's the kingdom of God. And that is the generation that can move the hand of God. If we will contend with the princes of darkness that brings laws and legislations over territory, if we will conquer them, we must enter mystical dimensions in Christ. And one of the mystical dimensions is the mystery of the body. Why do you think Jesus will come from heaven and say, "Paul, Paul, why persecutest thou me? Where did I see you? I've never met you." But when you touch one, you touch all, including the Lord. I came by prayer. I will stay. When I leave this world, I will go. I come by prayer. I will stay in prayer. When I leave this world, I will go in prayer. As I am, the way I am now, very few things can hurt me. And one of the things that hurt me deeply is when there is a breakage in the fellowship of the brotherhood. And that's one weapon the devil always uses. Because he knows even the strongest of us is vulnerable when we are against ourselves. Because we are one body. And so a generation must rise that bridges the gap. And you'll tell yourself, nothing can come in between us. Do your best. You may not sing it, but do your best to ensure the fellowship of the brethren is a mark. Is that fellowship that made them followers of Christ, and they followed him even to the cross. When Jesus was naked, John was standing there, and he looked at him. He said, "Behold your mother." And he said, "Mother, behold your son." It's not only the ones that come out of your womb that is your family. There are others that become family by the Spirit. Sit down, let me round up. We are out of time. The commandments of the Lord. In Matthew 11 verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples." The Holy Ghost can suggest to a Christian, but when you are a disciple, he commands you. So how God talks to you is what determines where you are in God. If you want to marry and God can suggest you and say, "If it's okay, this brother is good, so that you are a Christian." But if God comes to you and says, "This is your wife, this is your husband," it means your journey with him is deep. He knows that the kingdom has a stake on you and you can't err. If God comes to you and says, "If it's okay, please give 20% of your salary," it means you are a Christian. But if you are a disciple, you can come and say, "From today, 50% is no longer yours." If you hear like that, know that your journey with God is at a threshold. It's at the threshold of disciples, because he commands his disciples. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. See the way the Bible puts it. Even after he resurrected, he came back and was still giving commandments. He said, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." And in verse 2, he said, "Until the day in which he was taken up, after that, through the Holy Ghost, he had given commandments to his apostles, those that were sent from among the disciples." There are most of us there. God can command us. He will advise and suggest, because we need to be convinced to do it. But those who are disciples, sometimes he gives you a commandment. If 5 years later, you will now know why. And whether you know why or not, it doesn't matter. You just keep obeying. It may not make sense, but you are a disciple. So you live not by his explanations, but by his orders, by his commandments, by his rules, and by his regulations. If God can't find you at that level, he can't use you as his battle axe. Because in the midst of war, at the moment, you will still be insisting on explanation. The battle will be lost. When he says take right, you are saying why? There's no why here. You move now, otherwise we'll be behind enemy lines. Drop 90% of that money. You say why? By the time you are now convinced, 20 people they are dead already. So there's no need anymore. They'll say, keep it, go and buy your car. You are a Christian, you are not a disciple. And only disciples are kingdom agents. They are those that he can command. Now, when you come to this level, then the other two markers are actually the blessings. And the first blessing is power. Disciples are carriers of divine power, because God can entrust them with power. Every time you find a disciple, know that the power of God is there. He doesn't need ceremonies. He is a custodian of power. He can stand in the market and call down rain on the strength of his loyalty to Jesus, because anything he does is for the kingdom. So one of the ways God identifies his disciples is that he gives them authority to wield the powers of the ages to come. The reason our kingdom enterprise is futile is because there is no power backing. And those powers are for those who are disciples of the master, because they are entrusted. Let me show you two scriptures. Number one, Matthew 10 verse 1. It said, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and diseases. In Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. When you become a disciple, power is not what you pray for. It's a requirement. It's a utensil for kingdom advancement. When I prayed for those sisters yesterday, I wasn't feeling the anointing. Service was over. I was wishing they met me when I was clothed. But I prayed for them notwithstanding. But God needed them to know that he's here. So they reached out today and said, both of them are healed. I don't know how. But that power is a validation. It's a vindication of the spirit. And there are many places you go to. You will talk casually. They will now come back to you later and say, nothing you said happened. You say, what did I say? Because you said many things casually. You say, no, that thing you said will happen. It actually happened. Because God wants it to vindicate you as his disciple. Because of that, anytime you give kingdom directives, they will follow. Because they know that there is something out of this world that backs you. That's why the nations will give their allegiance to you. He said, in the days of thy power, the people shall be willing. So the people will not be willing until there is power. And because you have been sent to give direction to the people, God will have to vindicate you through power. So there are realms of power that is committed only to disciples. And every one of us must hold power. That's why we must all become disciples. The second benefit is that you become a custodian of the mysteries of God. A custodian of the mysteries of God.
In Mark 4:34, it said, "But without a parable, spake he not unto the multitude." He said, "But when he was alone with his disciples, he said he expounded the things to them." So the things that are told to the multitude as a parable, they are explained to disciples. Because you need to know it plainly so that you can teach a generation. When you have people who are struggling to still hear God, it's because their discipleship is not proven. When you find people who think the voice of God is no longer among men, it's because they have not been discipled. He said, "My sheep heareth my voice, and they obey me." When you become a disciple, he will speak to you plainly. Because it's one of the heritage of his disciples. So that you will not be taken unawares. Because he needs you to be a light to a generation. He needs you to bring leadership and direction to a people. This is why he will always allow you to be a custodian of his oracles. And trust me, one of the biggest assets you will have in life is the voice of God. To know what to do, to know where to turn to know how to engage. Because if you lose and lack direction, you are stranded in destiny. And so when God wants to really fortify you, he fortifies you with his voice. Don't take the brother out. Leave him under the atmosphere. God fortifies you with direction. He fortifies you with secrets. And so every one of us here should know God. And not know him like story, with precision. As we are stepping into 2024, all of us will know what God wants to do in this year. We may not know the whole oracle, but we will know different dimensions of it. So when we gather, we now have a complete witness of the emphasis of God for the now. But today, a church of 10 million, only the lead pastor will come and say, "This year is this year." And nobody has any witness because they are church members, they are not disciples. In the apostolic community, before you say, "This is the year of harvest," somebody will tell you, "What I'm fasting." I gathered some of my brethren together, and I'm not saying we are. I'm not saying others are wrong, while we are right. We are all learning. And I gathered my people. I said, "What do you think God wants us to do this year?" One said, "It's the year of supernatural increase." You have heard part of it. Another one said, "It's the year of exploits." Another one looked at me and said, "It's the year of ingathering." I said, "Okay. You people are picking some frequency. At least you two will ensure that I'm accurate. Because if I now come and say the year of traveling out of the country, they'll say, Apostle, where did you hear from?" Because the witness has to be amongst the disciples. Everybody heard something. Because we are all custodians of the oracles of God. Tonight, we will pray one prayer. Father, make me a disciple.
I will stay in prayer when I leave this world. I will go in prayer.
I tell my prayer.
These things he will be doing every time we come back. One of the things God told me is no disease. And so he will not only heal people in our midst, he will start empowering people to handle miracle working power. Listen, we must be many. There's no glory in one person manifesting all the time. There's so much that he cannot do. One person can be globally known, but his impact cannot compare to 10 people who are doing the same thing he's doing, because it becomes geometric. So God is empowering many of us to walk in miracles. You may not be a prophet, you may not be an apostle. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. The power is for the disciples. The second thing God told me is supernatural increase and empowerment. There are certain things we need to do. We need individuals that have economic power. This idea of donating money to do crusades, if we continue like that, we can catch up. We need men that can write off millions of dollars and it will be investment. Such a time as this. And then the third thing is influence. Some people will rise among us, some by a gift, some by a talent, but God will put something on them that will make them become like an opium of a generation. Anywhere they stand, the multitude will gather just to see them. Listen, this is one of the weapons that the devil has baptized his agents with. And this is one of the things dominating the secular world. Most of them, they enter cities, they go to the largest stadium, and it is ticketed. 1 month before the show, every ticket is bought. People just want to see them. Not because they are offering anything. In America now, there is a young lady. What's her name again? Help me. One young lady, they call her the something. I mean, all the youths in America now are all over her. What's the name? Taylor Swift, right? Taylor Swift. They now call it the Swift phenomenon. The lady comes to a stadium, and stadium is packed, overflow is equivalent to 3 stadiums. The clothes they wear, people who can buy it are designing it for themselves. And there's a sweet sensation. It's called influence. And many people are dressing naked because of her. Imagine if God puts that influence on your life. If you dress and cover yourself, 10 million young ladies will start covering themselves because of you. If you pray on the street, 10 million young boys will start praying on the street. That's what God wants to do. An army can rise until certain things begin to happen. These things are powers. Rivers of living waters.
All of my bellies are full.
All of my bellies are full. Rivers of living waters. Remember the Lord your God. It is him that giveth thee power, power to get well. Power, power to get well. Makata. The care of that work. Some of you, the hand of God is coming upon you for influence. For influence. Kings of nations will seek you. The multitude will come to you. Because there is a baptism.
Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow. Oh, let it flow right here, right now.
Let it flow, let it flow.
Let it flow, let it flow.
Come to the Father, pray the Holy Ghost.
Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow.
Out of my belly shall flow.
Out of my belly shall flow.
River, river of living water.
Thank you. This is the hour. Let the baptism begin. Walk us of miracles. Walk us of miracles. Bring them to me now. Walk us of miracles. From the left to the right, from the front to the back. Walk us of miracles. Carry that fire. 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 Walk us of miracles. Carry that fire. The hands that heal. They say, there's no time in Gilead. What kind of miracles? Bring them here. Bring them here.
Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow right here.
Let it flow, let it flow.
God can connect you to somebody and he wields all his properties to you. He may not even know why. And then God can bring you to wealth through wisdom. You start creating what a generation needs. God can also bring you to wealth through talent and giftings. You are just playing football, you are playing basketball, you are playing chess. But by all means, there are channels. So when God gives you power for wealth, those channels open. You can come into wealth by opportunities. Opportunities that others don't see. He opens your eyes to see them. Wherever you are standing, I stretch hands over you now. Us accept them. This one has power, 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 power to get wealth. Carry that power. Carry that power. Carry that power.
Let it flow, let it flow.
The Holy Ghost puts upon a man that makes him become an influence over his generation. He said, my hair, my horn shall thou exalt as the horn of the unicorn. He said, you have anointed my head with fresh oil. There's an oil, there's an aroma that comes upon a man and his horn is exalted. There are many of you here You will have influence over millions of people, regardless of nation, regardless of race, regardless of class or creed.
Let it flow, let it flow.
Father,
let it flow, let
lift your hands.
Father,
the oil that brings influence, the oil that brings influence, in the name of Jesus, wherever they are standing, right now, in the name of Jesus, on ground, online, carry that grace now. Carry that grace now. Carry that grace. Carry that grace. Carry that grace. Because they are kicking football from one part of the pitch to the other. Meanwhile, we carry a message of eternal life. Meanwhile, we carry an agenda that is eternal. Say, my home. Some of you who are in the football arena, God will put influence on your life. The biggest clubs will look for you. Some of you who are in music, God will put grace on your life. The biggest nation will speak your voice. Some of you who are in the tech industry, God will give you wisdom that has never been known. Wisdom for wisdom inventors. Hear me. Every one of you, either in the pop industry or in the tech industry, the era of I don't have a club is over. A favor will come on you. You will always be desired. You will always be wanted. The era of I don't have inspiration is over. A wisdom will come on you. Every day you will create something new. Carry that grace. Bring that mama at the back. Bring that mama at the back. Are you believing? Thank you, Father. Men have been empowered. The Vira, Baraka, Sadok, the Cesani, the Cesani. You want to influence God. Tomorrow morning we continue. Thank you, Father. May this one never be the same again. He said, a little one shall be a thousand. A small one shall be a strong nation. I decree over you, receive the capacity of a thousand. Receive the capacity of a strong nation. In the name of Jesus. He said, you are a city set upon a hill that cannot be hid. From today, become a city. And from today, everything covering you is removed. Shine in your generation. Listen to me. This is your time. Some of you will be shocked what will begin to happen to you. You have been under the atmosphere, under the cloud. Even the things you don't know, the things that were not declared, will start happening with you. As you depart from this retreat, become a wonder to your generation. Thank you, Father. Carry that authority of the ruler. Thank you, Father. If you can't be seated, we're out of time. If you can't be seated, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Call that sister for me. There's a light on your head. Come. You. The one looking behind. There's a light on your head. Come. Thank you, Father. Apostle Bayo, lay hands on her. Thank you, Father. If you can, be seated.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, Amen. If you just said this prayer, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. God bless you.